Paul tells us in Corinthians that we should examine ourselves daily whether we be in the faith. I feel led to return to my series of messages today that we've started in the book of Hebrews, chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 10 through 14. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 10 through 14. And chapters 5, 6, 7, and 8 all deal with the great subject that Jesus Christ is our great high priest. He is our high priest who is entered into the heavens, ever living to make intercession for us. As the writer says, back in chapter 4 and verse number 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. In other verses in chapter 10, he says, hold fast the profession and confession of our faith. Now, in order for us to hold fast to our profession of faith, it is necessary that we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. When the Holy Spirit calls us in regeneration, we are born again as a babe or a baby in Christ. And as a baby in Christ, we begin to develop on the sincere milk of the Word. But our text today in chapter 5 teaches that we don't need to stay just on milk, but as we grow, we then need to partake of the meat of the Word. And so we see that as growing in Christ is the key for us to hold fast our profession. So he speaks again of Jesus in verse 10 of chapter 5, saying that Jesus Christ is called of God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek that we read about in Genesis chapter 14 when Abraham was returning from the slaughter of the kings of the land, and Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek, the priest of Salem. He was the king of peace. His name meant the king of peace. And he was at the very least a type and shadow of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, having no recorded beginning of days nor end of years. And so the writer says now in our text in chapter 5, verse 11, concerning our Savior Jesus Christ, of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For everyone who uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, we're so thankful to be in your house on this good Lord's day. This is the day that you have made. Help us to rejoice and to be glad in it. For I was glad when they said unto me, Let us go up to the house of the Lord. Bless us that our feet will stand in this house, on the rock of Christ our Lord. Be with our members and friends, Father, who are absent this day. Keep them safe, and bless those that are sick with a portion of their health to return, that they might feel better and be back with us again. Be with us now, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us remember that the writer of Hebrews, who most likely was the Apostle Paul, that he was writing to the Jewish remnant who believed in Jesus Christ. Remember that the majority of the nation of Israel rejected Christ as their Messiah. They did not realize that He was indeed the promised Messiah. But there was a remnant who did believe, because the Bible teaches that the Lord has children in all people, in all nationalities. And of course we know that Israel was God's chosen nation in the Old Testament. But that did not mean that every national Israelite was a child of God. God had children in all nations, even from the beginning of the world. But yet He chose Israel to be a small type and shadow of how He deals with all of His people, His bride, the church, His elect children. And so it was that it is said in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, that Jesus came unto His own people, Israel, the Jewish people, and He said that, but His own received Him not. That is, that the majority of them, their eyes were blinded, that they did not see who He is. But there was a remnant who believed. And to that remnant, Jesus said in John chapter 8, that the Son has made you free. He spoke to those Jews there that did believe. Now, this is who He's speaking to in the letter to the Hebrew Christians. The Hebrew Christians. But yet here in our text today, that we see that there were many, many other things that the writer had to say to them and teach them concerning their Savior, my Savior, many things that are hard to be uttered, hard to be said, seeing, he said, that ye are dull of hearing. Now notice there, he did not say that they could not hear, but rather that they were dull of hearing. So he is directing these remarks, in my humble estimation, to children of God who have allowed the world and the cares of this life to cause their spiritual ears to become dull, and I would also say their spiritual eyes to become weak, so that it is hard for them, hard to hear and understand. Now, dull of hearing. Now, when we think about that, we know that when something is dull, that's the opposite of being what? Of being sharp. You know, a dull knife, people say, you know, will not even cut hot butter, will it? And a dull blade on your lawnmower is not going to cut your grass very well, is it? So here I believe that it was not that they did not have a spiritual ear to hear with or a spiritual eye to see with, but that they had allowed sin, the cares of this world, the passions of this fleshly life, the carnal flesh, to take over and crowd out the teaching and conviction of the Holy Spirit. Because it is the Holy Spirit that teaches us of the things of God. Jesus Himself said it in the Gospel of John, chapter 16 and verse 12. Listen to this. The Gospel of John, chapter 16 and verse 12. For He said, this is before He went to the cross. Jesus said, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. In other words, He is saying that at that point in time, bear them now, they were not able to handle it at that time, nor were they able to even comprehend it at that particular time. But He said to them, howbeit, when the Holy Spirit of truth is come, He, the Spirit, will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. So the Holy Spirit is our guide and our teacher as we meditate upon His holy word. But they were dull of hearing. And He says that there were many things that were hard sayings, tough sayings. You know, the majority of Jesus' teaching had to do with the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. It had to do with the teachings of living the Christian life while we are yet living in this world. I believe that those are the hard sayings of God. For example, in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 44, He said in the Sermon on the Mount, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless those that curse you, do good to those that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. That is a hard saying. Maybe not hard to understand what it means, but certainly hard to live. Hard to live. The Apostle Peter said in 2 Peter 3:16, that the Apostle Paul had many hard sayings. For he said this about the teachings that the Lord revealed unto Paul, who also in concerning Paul, he said, also in all of his epistles, speaking in his epistles of these things, in which are some things that are hard to understand, some that are hard to understand, which they who are unlearned and unstable wrest, or they twist, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. And so sometimes, if we don't understand something, we might be tempted in God's Word to make it mean what we think it means, or twist it in such a way that it suits what we believe. But that's not the way that we are to interpret God's Word. We are to listen to the teaching of the Holy Spirit. And then He says in verse 12, for when for the time you ought to be teachers, they should at that point in their Christian walk, they should have been able to be able to teach others. See, the natural progression of the Christian faith is how Paul sets it up as having being a mentor, being a mentee to a father in the Christian faith. Like Paul said that Timothy was his son in the faith. He was not his natural child, but Timothy was Paul's spiritual son in the faith. And then as Timothy grew, then he would be teaching others also. I believe he said that in 2 Timothy chapter 2. It is a matter of growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Yeah, he said it this way. The things that you, Timothy, that Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:2, and the things that you have heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. But we cannot be able to teach others also unless we ourselves not only have been taught by others, but that we ourselves study God's Word and the teaching of the Spirit, enlightening our understanding. But he says that you have need that one teach you again those things that be the first principles of the oracles of God. That is, the basics or the ABCs of Christianity. The basics is this, Matthew 1:21, and a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. That is our eternal salvation. That fundamental understanding and joyous knowledge of salvation by grace, that is the foundation of our Christian faith. But all things that pertain to our eternal salvation, God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they have taken care of that for us. There's nothing that we could have done, could do, or can do in that regard for our eternal life. But we need to understand that the hard sayings and the strong meat of God's Word, I believe, concerns the practices of the Christian faith in this life. So he says that you are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. The Apostle Paul recognized that this was also the very same condition that the church of the Corinthians found themselves in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. There in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul said that he could not speak to them as those who are spiritual, but yet unto those who are yet carnal, as even unto babes in Christ. So Paul said the Corinthian church, those members were still babes in Christ. And he said, I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it. That is, you were not able to take the strong meat of God's Word. But he then says, neither are you now yet able to bear it. They had not grown any in their Christian faith. He says to them in verse 3 there, Corinthians 3, chapter 3, for you are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? See, they were walking to a great extent by sight, not by faith, and they were divided among themselves, saying that some are following Paul and others are following Apollos. He says, are you not yet in the flesh? Not that they were not God's children, but yet they were walking more according to the carnal understanding rather than following the leadership and teaching of the Holy Spirit. So that they were those that were still needing milk and not strong meat. The writer of Hebrews says now in verse 13 of our text, "For everyone who uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness." The word there, unskillful, means lacking experience. Lacking experience. You know, sometimes people think about this when applying for a job, and it's hard. It's like, what comes first, the horse or the cart? Some say, well, you can't get that job without experience, but then on the other hand, how can you get experience unless they let you have the job and give you a chance? And so you've got to have some kind of experience. And so that's what he's talking about here, that if you are unskillful in the word of righteousness there, and that means right living, right living. So it's talking about the practical applications of God's word as we live in this life. Having no experience in practical, godly, Christian living, for he is a babe in Christ. So we see other scriptures teach that as well. Paul in 1 Corinthians said that when I was a child, in chapter 13, I spake as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, Paul said, I put away childish things. It's okay for a little child to play with dolls, but when you get grown, if you're still playing with a doll, people may be taking you to see a doctor. Something's not right. And so we find other scriptures. Paul said, he said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, "In malice I want you to be children, but in understanding you need to be grown men." Why be children in malice? Because children are quick to forgive one another when they get crossed with each other. If children are playing in a playground and something happens and they get mad with each other, it's not long before they've made up and they're playing with each other again. And that's how we're to be. In malice, be children, but in understanding, be men. Be mature. So he says in verse 14, "But strong meat belongs to those who are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." That is, we are to use the fruit of the Spirit that we have within ourselves. When we are born as a babe in Christ, we're given as a part of that new birth the fruit of the Spirit, as found in Galatians chapter 5. Remember, when he says there in Galatians 5, we are given in the new birth the fruit of the Spirit, which is first of all love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. That would prohibit those traits. But that we have to exercise that fruit in order for it to grow and be strong and be useful in God's service. Whenever we don't exercise our bodies, they become weak. And we get weaker and weaker. But we need to be strong in the faith. Paul said in his letters to Timothy, "Be strong in the grace that is in our Lord Jesus Christ. See, Peter tells us in 2 Peter 3:18, but what? Grow in grace. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that we may be able to discern both good and evil. We need spiritual discernment as we walk in this life. And it's only by the Spirit of God. Remember, we find this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Concerning wisdom, he says this in verse 6. Howbeit we speak wisdom concerning discernment among those that are perfect, that is, those who are mature. 1 Corinthians 2:6. Paul says we're speaking that strong meat to those that are maturing in Christ. Yet it's not the wisdom of this world, nor is it the wisdom of the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God, spiritual wisdom, and it's in a mystery, and it's hidden to the eyes of the world, the hidden wisdom of God that God ordained before the world to our glory. For he said that which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor has ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man those things that God has prepared for them who love Him. And then drop down when he says this in verse 14. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, neither can he know them, because they, that is, the things of God, are and must be spiritually discerned. That is, understood and rightly divided by the Holy Spirit, illuminating our understanding. And then he says, those we who are spiritual then, we are then able to exercise spiritual judgment in all things, that is, to understand and discern both good and evil. The world today calls good evil and evil good, as Isaiah prophesied in Isaiah 5:20, when he says, woe to them that call evil good and good evil. And so we need our spiritual senses, our eyes, ears, our mouths, and our nose, and our feeling. Those five natural senses have application in the spiritual understanding, so that we can grow in Him, not being a babe in Christ. And then he makes application in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. So, because it is not good for us to remain a babe in Christ, he says, therefore, leaving the principles. Now, leaving that doesn't mean to go away from it, but it means to build upon it. And then he starts talking about those basics as being the foundation. And the building cannot be built strong to last unless it has a strong and firm foundation. So those ABCs of salvation by grace, that is our foundation upon which we stand. But then he says that we are to go on unto perfection. Now there again, the word perfection does not mean without sin, but it means to go unto maturity, to be mature in the Christian faith, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. Although we need to repent daily of our sin and have faith in God, yet those are the basic building blocks that we build upon in order that we might withstand the wily darts of the devil, as Paul teaches in Ephesians chapter 6. And when he says, standing against the devil, having done all to stand, stand. We have to put on the armor of God. And that involves the meat of God's Word. Now, something that we might help you to easily understand the application today concerning growing in Christ is this. The word grow, G-R-O-W. Let's take each of those four letters as our application today. The letter G, in order to grow in Him, we need to go often to Him in prayer. Go often to the Master in prayer. You know, the disciples of Christ ask Him in Luke chapter 11, teach us to pray as also John the Baptist taught his disciples to pray. And we are to go often into our spiritual closets in prayer. You've heard the saying that a week without prayer makes one week. I would say a day without prayer, a moment without prayer, makes us spiritually weak. We gain our strength as we communicate with our Heavenly Father in prayer. The letter R, read. Read and study the Word of God. Paul said and told the young preacher Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman who needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, that we might have our senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So we should pray often. We should read and study God's word often, daily. Third, the letter O stands for obey. We should obey what His Word teaches us to do. For Jesus taught us this in John chapter 14. He said, he who has my commandments, and keepeth them, that is, those who obey my commandments, he is the one who loves me, and he who loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him in a spiritual communion and enlightening our understanding. For if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, will come unto him, and make our abode with Him. He's already in us in the new birth, but He will come to us in communion and fellowship and enlightening the eyes of our understanding. And then finally, the letter W of the word grow. Once we have learned those things and continue to learn, then we are to witness and teach others of the good things that we have experienced of Christ in our own lives. Remember what they said unto the disciples before Jesus ascended. Jesus said in Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all of Judea, and in Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. This is how we grow in grace. and in the knowledge of our Savior in an experiential way, that we may not be as babes only needing milk, but we are growing in Him so that we can bear the strong meat of God's Word. And so that was the writer of Hebrews' message to those Jewish Christians who believed, who were dull of hearing. We need our senses tuned in to the Holy Spirit. And we can't be tuned into the Holy Spirit if we're constantly tuned into the things of this sinful world in which we live. We've got to tune those things out. Lay those things aside. Go into our closet in prayer. Go into the Word, that we may have our spiritual senses sharpened, that we might then be able to discern both good and evil. God bless you is my prayer, for Christ's sake.